born again. And it didn't just come out. It wasn't an accident that he said it that way. The reason is because it explains the difference that happens when a man gets born again. You see, there is no difference when all you do is turn over a new leaf. When all you do is make a little resolution, you're still the same old devil with just a little resolution. But when you get born again, woo, old things pass away and behold, all things become new. You see, we expected that first child. I can tell you that first bouncing little 7-pound, 12-ounce, 20-inch long baby red-headed girl come into our house. There was, it wasn't just turning over a new leaf. No, 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 because 2 o'clock in the morning, the new leaf is still over. You understand? But 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, life had come, man. Life had come. Oh, hallelujah. That's why the Word of God says when we get saved, we got born again. Hallelujah. Why? Because life comes. The life of Christ comes in. Hallelujah. And I'm no longer what I used to be. I ain't preaching on that, but I'm feeling good tonight. Praise God. I better get a text and preach. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hold on. I just might shout on that a little while first. I appreciate the Lord's salvation. Turn with me tonight, the Word of God, Isaiah chapter number 44. Isaiah chapter number 44. When you get there, stand. Isaiah chapter number 44. Hallelujah. And hallelujah! Oh, just glad God saved me. I tell you, glad God saved me. Glad He made a difference in my life. You know, I've seen them folks get saved, and when they got up from the altar, they looked different. Huh? The glow. I mean, just oh God, the peace. What God done in their life? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! God still does that. All right, well, you should have shouted while I was exhorting because now we're going to preach. Isaiah chapter number 44. And I want to begin reading tonight in verse number 14. Isaiah chapter number 44 and verse number 14. The Bible says, He heweth him down cedars, taketh the cypress and the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it and baketh bread. Yea, he maketh a god and worshipeth it. He maketh it a graven image and falleth down thereto. He burneth part thereof in the fire. With part thereof he eateth flesh, he roasteth roast, and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself, and saith, Aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire. Verse 17, And with the residue thereof he maketh a god. Even his graven image, he falleth down into it, and worshipeth it, and prayeth unto it, and saith, Deliver me, for thou art my God. This text tells about a man who plants a tree, and then when it grows up, he takes the tree and he cuts it down. The Bible said the first part he uses to warm himself, the second part he uses to bake his bread. And verse 17 says, And with the residue. In other words, after he's warmed himself and after he's baked his bread, then he takes the residue and he makes a god. Or in other words, he takes the leftovers. The leftovers. And I want to preach a little while tonight on that thought of leftovers. Leftovers. Father, we love you now. Thank you for loving mercy, goodness. Thank you for our team to give us come together to the house of God. Father, we stand in dire need of the Holy Ghost anointing. Ask the Lord to set my soul ablaze in a flame for to preach thy word and thy word alone. God, under us to hear and on our hearts to receive. Deal with every heart. Deal with every life. Deal with every soul. Move as we gather around these altars. Save the lost. Bring home the backslider. Deal with the religious that's not right, that they get right. Deal with your church. Encourage your people tonight. God, we give you all the praise and the glory and the power and the honor. In Jesus, one of a name, and everybody said, Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach to you for just a little while tonight simply on this thought of leftovers. Leftovers. Now the Bible tells us a story about a man. The Bible says the man cuts down a tree. The Bible said he takes that tree, and with that tree, the Bible declares that he burns part of it in the fire and he warms himself. And then he takes part of that wood and then he bakes his bread. And then the Bible said with the residue, or in other words, with the leftovers, he makes himself a god. Oh, you say, oh, but preacher, we'll just go ahead and get this off right now. You say, oh, but preacher, you know, that's not talking about us. We've not made gods. We don't have any idols in our home, and we don't have any idols. We're not, you know, engraving, and we're not doing all this idol stuff. No, but I want us to understand something tonight. It declares to you and I the propensity of that wicked heart of man. I said, it tells us the wicked heart of man. Hear me tonight. Now listen, I'm just going to go ahead and preach on a little while. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I'm sick and tired of folks not wanting to live right with God, not showing up to the house of God, and then when they get here, say, God knows my heart. Yes, He does know your heart, and He knows what He says about your heart. He said it's deceitful and wicked above all else, and who can know it? I'm telling you that the heart of man is wicked. I said the heart of man is wicked, and the Bible tells us the propensity of that heart is to make his own god with the leftovers of his life. You just better hold on tight tonight. Go ahead and buckle in. We're going to preach. That'll be all right. We'll shout when we get to the end of this thing. Hallelujah. Oh, listen tonight. It shows us that heart. I said it shows us that heart. Don't give me that. Well, God knows my heart. What that means is you're not living right, and you know it, and so does God. Woo, shout now. Hallelujah. Woo. I wasn't even in my notes. You can look at them. That's for free. Praise God. But the Bible says he cuts that tree down, and the first thing he does is the Bible said he warms himself. You know what he was saying? He's saying the first thing he's saying is this: the flesh is first. And you know, that's what man does. The man wants to put his flesh first. How many of you know it's ebbed over in the church world? Flesh has become first. Ebbed over, I'm telling you, it's ebbed over into your life. You put your flesh before the things of God. The church world puts their flesh before the things of God. It's all about comfort. It's all about pleasing flesh. It's all about pleasing self. Today the church world has become more concerned about trying to make Christ pleasing to this world. Can I tell you, this book is not about making Christ pleasing to a world. It's about making a world pleasing to Christ. It has nothing to do with the other way. Listen to me, you'll never make God pleasing to this world unless you make it an idol and make it flesh. Oh, but listen, I've got news for you. Oh, God tonight. I said, God tonight, oh, is not interested in your leftovers. So the first thing this man does is he puts his flesh first. In church world today, that's what we've done, is we put the flesh before everything. Don't get mad at brother man. But it's the truth. Wish that preacher would hurry up. I got to get the Burger King. Well, I don't eat there. McDonald's. Or, you know what? The flesh. But so the Bible said the first thing that he does is he puts the flesh first. Oh, church, you know what the Bible says about that flesh? The Bible said you need to crucify that flesh. Oh, you need to crucify that flesh. Why? Because it'll rise up. That's why the great man of God, Paul, said, I die daily. Oh, the Bible said, take up your cross, not one time 42 years ago, but take it up daily. Keep that old man down. Keep him crucified. Why? Because the propensity of that wicked heart of man is for that flesh to rise up and rule and reign. First thing he does is he puts flesh up first. This is introduction, then we're going to preach. We're getting there. Hey, just hold on. Listen, we will shout if you can make it to point two. Amen. Intro and point one is a little rough, but God's trying to help us tonight. Then the second thing he does is he satiates or satisfies his appetites. He cuts the tree down. The first thing that he does, he appeases this flesh. And then the second thing he does is he appeases his appetites. The Bible said he roasteth roast and he eats it. In other words, he fulfills the appetites, the desires, what he wants. Can I tell you today, the church world has done that. We put the flesh first, then we put our appetites right up there, right behind it. Number two, our appetites, what we want, what we desire. We place them ahead of the things of God. I said we place those appetites ahead. I'm not talking about in the natural. Thank God for food. I loved eating. By the way, we had some great food this afternoon. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. It was great. But anyway, I thank God for food. And I'm talking about that. I'm talking about those appetites of that flesh that we place before God. And listen, they may not even be sin in and of themselves, but if you place those appetites before the things of God, they become sin. Oh, it's all about our appetites for entertainment. It's all about our appetites for sports. It's all about our appetites for fishing or our appetites for shopping. I didn't even get an amen from the men on that one. But anyway, you understand all these other things. The second thing we're worried about is our flesh and then our appetites. And then finally the Bible said he's warmed. And now he ate and he goes, oh yeah, I guess I better make a God. The Bible said, and with the residue. Or in other words, with what is left over, he makes a God. See, preacher, we're not making no gods. Listen, can I tell you, this is what man does. He wants to have let his flesh rule and reign. He wants his appetites appeased. And then the third and final thing, he finally says, well, okay, with the leftovers, with what I've got left over, I'll go ahead and give to God. Oh, listen, Lord, I feel preach coming on me. I can tell you, that's why a lot of churches quit having church on Sunday night. I'll tell you why. They didn't hear from God. God never told them to stop. I can tell you why they don't have it. They don't have it because their appetites and their flesh are ahead of the things of God. So they're ahead of the things of God. And all we want to do is get God our leftovers. It used to be that Christianity was called the way. The way. Getting in the way. The reason it was called the way is because it was not a religiosity. It was not a Sunday morning 1 hour. It was not a twice a week Sunday and Wednesday. No, no. It was the way. It was the way you lived. It was the way you walked. It was the way you talked. It was the way. Oh, listen, God was first and God was number one. But today we've come down, we've brought Christianity and religiosity down to giving God what is left. And I'm going to shock the fire out of some of you. God does not want your leftovers. Let me put it this way. God doesn't like your leftovers. And God will not accept your leftovers. Oh, leftovers. You see, that's what we want to give to God is our leftovers. Our leftovers. You see, the Bible said like this. Luke chapter 9, verse 61. God had called, the Lord had called folks to follow Him. You know, one man said, he said exactly what today's church world says. Lord, I will follow you. Luke 9, 61. Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my home. Let me do these other things, and then with what's left over, I'll follow you. I'll give you the leftovers. I've come to tell you. Then you know what the next verse says, Luke 9 and 62? He said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. If you're here tonight and all you're giving God is leftovers, God says, you're not fit for my kingdom. You say, preacher, that's rough preaching. I didn't write this thing. I'm just telling you what it says. We're giving God the leftovers of our life. And God said, I'll not accept your leftovers. Not accept them. Listen, I want to go a different way tonight. I want to make you shout. Huh? You look at me like, oh, great. Why don't we come tonight? Because God wanted you to hear because He's trying to help you. Because you've been giving God leftovers in your life. Thinking, well, I've been giving Him leftovers. The Bible tells us a story. Remember, the Bible tells a story. The Bible tells a story of a man by the name of Elijah. Elijah with a J. Elijah with a J was a man of God. And God told him, said, Elijah with a J, go and anoint Elisha with an S. Just so you can, you know, I'm trying to help you there. Young people, you got me. You know, Elijah, I want you to go and anoint Elisha to be prophet in your stead. And the Bible said the man of God Elijah came by and he took that mantle. And the Bible said he cast it upon Elisha. Elisha felt the call of God. But you know what Elisha said? Elisha said, let me go home real quick and say goodbye to mom and dad. You know what the man of God said? The man of God said, what have I to do with thee? Oh, you know what he was saying? He was saying, God doesn't want your leftovers. You ain't coming now. You ain't coming. Come on now. That's what he was saying. He said, if you're not coming now, you're not coming. He's telling him, God does not want your leftovers. God doesn't want the leftovers of your life. You know what Elisha did? Elisha realized, you're right, I got to give God everything. Right then he killed the ox, burned the oak, said, I'm following God. I'm not going to give God the leftovers of my life. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 8, the Bible said another man came to Christ and he said, suffer me first to go. Bid them farewell. Suffer me. Oh, what he was saying is, I'll give you what's left over. When I'm done living the way I want to live, when I'm done doing what I want to do, when my appetites are satisfied, then with whatever's left over, I'll give to you. Can I tell you? God does not want that. That, my friend, I don't care what Dr. Dingling on that bottle stop television tells you. That, my friend, is not Bible Christianity. I said, that's not Bible Christianity. Oh, no. I want you to understand. You want to know what God requires? God requires your everything. God requires your all. You say, preacher, salvation is free. You're right. It's a free gift of God. But now He's bought you, and you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. You've been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And what He expects in return is your everything. Your everything. The Bible says, the Bible declares in that Old Testament, He told the children of Israel, He said, I want you to bring me your first fruits. Don't give me no leftovers. I don't want no mushy spaghetti been in that refrigerator 2 months. He said, I want the first fruits. You see, the problem today is we want to give God those leftovers. We want to give God what the dogs won't even eat. Ooh, shout now. Hallelujah. You know what? If some people treated their boss like most Christians treat God, they'd have been fired a long time ago. Ooh, shout now. We on. Yeah. Come on now. Yeah. If some people treated their sports coach like we treat God, they'd have been kicked off the team a long time ago. You're still not getting this, are you? You understand? Huh? Oh, but yet we think God can have leftovers. The Bible said when you bring a lamb, you know, the Lord even put it like this. He said, listen. He said, when you bring my offering, He said, go ahead. Take that lame one that you wanted to offer me. You take that lame, broken down, no good sheep, and you offer it to your governor and see if he's going to like it. That's what God said to him. He said, you see if he'd like it. And yet you want to bring that to me? God said, no, we're not going to have... You see, I want the lamb without spot. I want it to be perfect. As a matter of fact, do you understand every firstborn in Israel belonged to God? Every firstborn belonged to God. Everyone belonged to God. What we want to do is give God the leftovers. Oh, boy. Get off this. Amen. I'm almost... This is point one. We want to give God our leftovers. Now we're going to get down into the pragmatics. He said, preacher, I didn't get anything practical. Well, good. I've come to help you with pragmatics and practicality. You see, how many know the first thing we want to do is we want to give God the leftovers of our time. Mm-hmm. So we want to give, and everybody just go ahead and smile at me and I won't think you're guilty. Amen. I said, we want to give God the leftovers of our time. Don't look at me so sanctimoniously. Your idea about your prayer time is if I get around to it, I'll pray. The statistics on how much time the average Christian prays would astonish you. My dog prays more than the average Christian, if I had a dog, but I don't. But anyway, they just don't do it. You see, because we want to give God the leftovers of our time. And what usually happens is we get up and we run through the day and we've done this and we've done that and we've appeased the flesh and appeased our appetite, done all this, and then we come home and we're just about ready for bed and we realize, oh yeah, I haven't prayed as we're just falling in bed. Lord, I thank you for this day. And then we wonder why God doesn't fall all over Himself to bless us. Woo, hallelujah. That's good preaching, brother man. Go ahead. I believe I will. Praise God. Huh? We wonder. We give God leftovers of our time. We give time to everything else, everybody else. Everything else has our time except for the one who created us, except for the one that made time, except for the one that's given us another heartbeat to stay alive another second. But we give God everything else. Give everything else our time but God. See, we want to give God the leftovers of our time. Why not get around to it? I'll pray. When I get around to it, I get time, I'll try to go to church. And preacher, don't you dare preach past noon. Ooh, shout now. Yeah, you didn't even see. Y'all could smile a little bit. Praise God. Huh? Why? Because we want to give God the leftovers of our time. Second thing, not only do we want to give God the leftovers of our time, how you know today in the church world, we're wanting to give God the leftovers of our faithfulness. Oh boy, yeah. I said we want to give God the leftover faithfulness. Well, you know, if I don't have anything else to do, then I'll make it to church on Sunday. That's become the attitude of the church today. Huh? Oh boy, huh? Man. I mean, it used to be grandma came to town. You said, grandma, we love you and we're glad you're here and that's wonderful. But we going to church. And either you can come with us or you can sit here at home and when we're done with church, we'll be back. But nowadays, grandma comes home and everybody, Aunt Susie, Aunt Susie's four friends all stay home because grandma come to town. Yeah, come on now. I can tell you this, if grandma's an alcoholic, grandma's a whole lot more faithful to her alcohol God than you are to your God. Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you go to grandma's house. I can tell you this, if she's the alcoholic, you come to grandma's house, she's going to go down and bow at that bottle knee. I can bow that knee to that bottle. Why? She's faithful to her God. Oh, but yet, saints of the living God, we give God the leftovers of our faithfulness. Lord, if I get around to it, if I don't have anything else to do, you know, oh, listen, I've come to tell you, God does not accept your leftovers. How many of you know the Bible? Oh, Lord, help me. The Bible likens our relationship between us and the Lord as a relationship between the bride and the bridegroom. It's using the Word of God to show us the closeness and the intimacy and to show us about our relationship to the Lord. Well, I've got news for you. You know, when we got married, we did the good old-fashioned King James Version vows. I mean, they still played, bum, 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 you know, as we come. Then we left, they played, bum, bum, bum. No. I don't remember what the baby. You know, we did this old, you know, the ones, you know. Love you, sis, man. But you know, we did those ones, you know. Forsaking all others, keep thyself only unto her. I thereto plight thee my troth. That was in there too. Do you know what? If I'd have said, keeping myself from most others. Now, Grant, you got to understand something. My wife is Italian. Italians talk with their hands. If you want my wife to be quiet, you don't have to do nothing to her mouth. Just duct tape her hands together. She's done. She's through. She got to have hands. First time we got married, now she's talking. She's going like, you know, it's really funny. Uh-oh. Before the revival's over, I'd have put Sister Man up on the platform and I'd have called her on her cell phone, have her talk to me. Because she'd talk to you on the cell phone with her hands. I tell her, Sister Man, they can't see your hands. You're on the cell phone! You know, she got to have that hand, those hands. They talk. You know what? If I'd have got on that wedding day, I said, oh, I love you, and I'm forsaking most others. She'd had a talk with me. Yeah. That frying pan and that rolling pin would have talked all over the top of my head. Huh? Yeah. Oh, no, no. It's going to be forsaking all others. Keep thyself only unto her. None of this forsaking most others. Keep most of thyself mostly unto her. Hey, Nate, I wasn't going to cut it. No, no, no. Either I belong to her or she's like, hit the door, buddy. I don't want none of you. Listen, I've got news for you. That's what God is saying. I said, that's what God is saying. He said, ah, you're my bride and I will not share you with anybody. I got news for you. That's my wife. I said, it's my wife. You can be nice to her, shake her hand, but I got news for you. I don't share. You understand? It's my wife. I don't share. That's what God is saying about His church. That's my bride, and I don't share. Yet we'll be faithful. All these other things, and give God the leftovers of our faithfulness. Give Him the leftovers of our time. We'll give Him the leftovers of our faithfulness. We give Him the leftovers of our lives. Now, let me just say this. Thank God for God's mercy and His grace. And thank God that God deals and deals and deals. And I have seen folks get saved on their deathbed, and I am grateful and I am thankful for that. But let me tell you, if your idea I'm going to do what I want to in my life, and right before I die, I'll make it right. Can I tell you tonight, that opportunity may not come. I said it may not come for you. Huh? See, we want to give God the leftovers of our lives. We want to sow our wild oats, and then when we get to be a little bit older, whatever you think older is, I have noticed that lately I think older is a whole lot older than I used to think older was. But anyway, and then when we get a little bit older, then we're going to go ahead and serve God. Listen, I've come to tell you, God does not want the leftovers of your life. God says, give me your life now. Young people, let me preach to you. How many of you know the Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember Him now. Serve Him at a young age. Give God the first fruits of your life. Give God your everything. Give God your all. Don't wait till you're older and you've ruined your life in sin and everything been torn apart and the sin scars. Listen, thank God. God can forgive and God can bring home and God can restore. But listen to me. The sin scars will never leave. I said the sin scars will never leave. They'll never leave. And you need to give God the first fruits of your life. Serve Him while you're young so you don't have the sin scars. Young people, listen to me. This ungodly Christian television nonsense. Take these pagans, put them up there just because they can say a few Christian words. We just, oh, that's wonderful. We swoon over them. Let me tell you, the greatest testimony a person could have is a young person could stand and say, I got saved at a young age and God kept me from the time I was young. I didn't have to go into the dregs of sin. I didn't have to, no, no, no. I gave God the first fruits of my life and God kept me. That, my friend, that ought to be paraded in front of folks. That ought to be applauded. That's the greatest testimony you could have. It's the greatest one, young people. Thank God that God can save that alcoholic. Thank God He can deliver the drug addict. But the greater testimony is the one that doesn't go there. He's born again at a young age. Lives God from his youth. Moms and dads, teach your kids while they're young to give God their everything now. Oh. Give Him the leftovers of our time. Leftovers of our faithfulness. The leftovers of our life. The last thing is we give Him the leftovers of our love. I said we give Him the leftovers of our love. We love everything else. You know, concerning the end times, Roman tells us, the first chapter, that this world would become lovers of the creation more than lovers of the Creator. I said they'd love the creation more than they'd love the Creator. Listen, I can talk about it. I'm from California. I'm from that tree-hugging wasteland of pagan idolatry. Huh? Why they loved creation more than the Creator. I know folks today love, now don't misunderstand me, you know, Brother Matt, thank God for those dogs and stuff. I know folks today love their pets more than anything. Who's shouting now? Boy, we got down on the preaching ground, didn't we? Hallelujah. Don't you dare say nothing about little Betsy. I can tell you what, I don't care what that dog is to you. You love that dog more than a human being. You love that dog more than God. You're going to hell. Well, shout now, yeah. Don't get mad at me. This world loves those animals more than they love aborted babies. You kill a dog, you go to jail. You kill a baby, they applaud you. Come on now, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just telling you. We're giving God the leftovers of our love. We love everything else but God. And then if we got any kind of inclination or any kind of emotion, we try to throw it on God. That's why God told the church at Ephesus, your problem is you've left your first love. He said, I will not accept a leftover love. I'll not accept your leftover love. Let me tell you why some of you tonight are miserable in your religiosity. It's because you've never given God everything. I said, you're trying to serve God and only give Him your leftovers. And God's come to tell you tonight, He doesn't want them. He won't accept them. So you need to give God your everything. You see, my friend, that's Christianity. It's Christianity. God gave His everything for you. The least you can do is give your everything for Him. You see, we give God our leftovers. Our leftovers. Point two. You just think about that for a minute. I was going to try to lighten it up, but it needs to stay heavy for a moment. Then we'll lighten it up. See, your problem is you've been given God leftovers. Now I lay me down to sleep does not count as prayer. Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. That ain't prayer. Leftovers. It's leftovers. God says, I won't have it. I won't have it. Point two. The reason God doesn't want your leftovers is because God never gave you leftovers. Oh, hallelujah. Can I tell you, God never gave you leftovers. Can I tell you, salvation is not a leftover. No. It was fresh made for me and you. Hallelujah. I said it was fresh made for you and I. Can I tell you, Holy Ghost is not a leftover from some yesteryear world. No. It's freshly given for you and I. God never gave us leftovers. The Bible said every day, God doesn't give you leftovers from yesterday. He said, my mercies are new every morning. God never gave you leftovers. You've never had leftover mercy in all of your Christian life. He never gave you leftovers. He said, my mercies have been brand new every single day. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, whoo, hallelujah. You know what? Love you, sister, man. We were driving down the road. I don't know, it's been a year ago. I don't even remember when it was. But we're driving down the road, and it was lunchtime. And my wife fixed me up a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I love peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But there's one thing I don't like. Stale, moldy bread. Probably because I had to eat it when I was a kid because we were poor. And buddy, I'm telling you, it's just got a certain taste that, I can tell if that thing's a day. I mean, it may not even have anything growing on it. I can tell by tomorrow there's going to be stuff growing on it. That just got that taste, you know. And she handed me that sandwich. I took one bite of that peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I said, throw that junk away. It still gave me a bad time about it. I did. I spit it out, man. I said, I ain't eating that mess. That's some leftover bread from last century. I mean, it's some old moldy deal, man. Oh. Bad. You know what I like though? Oh yeah. Sometimes. It used to be my wife had one of them, bread machines. Most ladies now use them for a
flower pot, but anyway.
She'd hold my, but anyway, you know, they had one of them bread machines, and she'd get up in the morning, you know, or actually that night before she'd go to bed, she'd put everything in that bread machine. And she'd set the time, say, what time are you going to get up? What time do you want the bread? I'd tell her, oh, man, I want it, you know, have it ready at 5:30. And so somewhere around 1 o'clock in the morning, I'd be awake and you know. That sound of that bread machine, you know. And then, oh, man, I'm this. And then, you know, then I go back to sleep. And then a while later, you know, because it has right. And then I hit about 3:30, you'd hear it again. And then about 5:10. Fresh bread and butter. Woo! Before I got up, it was already ready. Oh, man. Can I tell you, God said, I never gave you no old, crusty, moldy mercy. He said, I never gave you an old, moldy, crusty mercy. No, no. He said, as a matter of fact, I've already got the ingredients together. And before you wake up in the morning, I'm going to have some brand new mercy for you. God doesn't give you leftovers. Mercies are new every morning. He daily, the Bible said daily, He daily loads us with benefits. The Bible said He anoints us with fresh oil, not some old stale, stagnated stuff McDonald's didn't want to, but He gives you fresh oil. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God never gave you leftovers. I said He never gave you leftovers. Can I tell you tonight? God never gave you leftovers. See tonight, saints, I don't know about you, but dogs eat the leftovers. That's what dogs are for, eat the leftovers. That's why you got them. I tell you this, a dog would starve around our house. I got a teenage boy, forget leftovers. Dogs get leftovers. But He doesn't call us dogs anymore. Hallelujah. We used to be dogs, but now we've been adopted into the family of God. And we cry, Abba, Father. And we're children of the Most High. Oh, hallelujah. And we've got a place at the table. Oh, quickly. Have you know God never gave you the leftovers of His time? I said, God has never given you the leftovers of His time. Never one time have you ever come to an altar and God said, not now. Never one time have you ever cried out and God said later, I haven't got time for you. Never one time have you cried out for God and God say, I'm kind of busy right now. Call back later. No, when you cry out, He'll stop commanding angels and building worlds to listen to you. He never gave you leftovers of His time. Always gives you the best. The best. Can I tell you a second thing? God never gives you the leftovers of His faithfulness. You understand that? The Bible said, man may not be faithful. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, but God is faithful. He is. That's who He is. That's what He is. He doesn't give you a leftover faithfulness. He's not more faithful than anything else. I can tell you, saint of God, He's more faithful to you than anything. He's faithful to you. As a matter of fact, He's more faithful to you than He is the laws that govern this universe. What do you mean, preacher? I'm telling you, He will supersede the laws that govern this universe to help you. He'll stop the sun if He's got to because He's faithful to you. He'll fish don't swallow money. He'll bring money from a fish if He's got to. Water doesn't just open up. You walk across on dry ground. He'll do it. Why? He's faithful to you. He's faithful to you. He's faithful to you. He's faithful to you. Oh, I said He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. God does not practice infidelity. There's one bride. He has no other loves. Do you hear me? There's one bride. And He's faithful to that bride. Hallelujah. 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 Tell you, it's nice to wake up in the morning and know I don't have to worry about Sister Man being unfaithful. She loves me. She's faithful. She loves me. And she will always be faithful. You say, preacher, you don't. Yeah, I do know. I know her. She'll be faithful. It's nice to wake up in the morning. Don't care what situations and circumstances say. God is faithful. Yes, but the storms, God is faithful. Yes, but the problems, God is faithful. And He never gave you some stale leftover faithfulness. William Gurnall, the great Puritan writer, said, when the good man is asleep, he finds that his good God is awake.
Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You didn't give me a leftover faithfulness.
I got to quit. God never gave you a leftover life. You understand that? I said God never gave you a leftover life. No, no. Do you understand that Christ was not heaven's second best? He wasn't heaven's Mr. Congeniality. He wasn't runner up. Do you realize Christ was the best heaven had? And He said, I'll give my best for you. That's what God gave for you. He gave His best. He didn't give you some leftover angel. He gave His only begotten Son. The last thing is God never gave you leftovers of His love. The Bible said, when you were unrighteous, He loved you. When you were an enemy of God, He loved you. But God commendeth His love toward us, Romans 5:8. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The word commendeth His love means displayed, showed, exemplified, demonstrated. Oh, showed His love, commendeth His love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He said, I'm not going to give you some leftover love. I'm giving you fresh out of the oven. Fresh out of the oven. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, you two. I got to try to quit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Two quick deals. I know I preached a little long tonight, but God never gave you leftovers. Now, me and chocolate chip cookies are tight. We are, and as a matter of fact, I don't think I've ever met a chocolate chip cookie that I didn't like. But I can tell you this. You know, those ones in the box, I do eat them. Hallelujah. But there ain't nothing like a fresh one. Out of the oven. Just slightly underbaked. That when you break them apart and you pull it, the chocolate stretches. And you put it in your mouth and you don't even have to chew it. It just kind of, and then melts. Woo! Man. I mean, I will eat a Chips Ahoy, but it don't even come close to that Nestle Toll House chocolate chip cookie fresh out of the oven after having been baked for 9 minutes at 350 degrees. Woo! You understand? Can I put it to you this way? God never gave you Chips Ahoy. Huh? No, no, no. He said, no. You get the fresh stuff. Let me try to close. This is my fifth and final closing. I think. Lord, help us, help us. I can't even remember the year. I don't remember. When did I meet your parents? 88, 89? I don't remember. Whenever it was. She's from New Jersey. And we were in Bible college, and I had to drive from Louisiana all the way up to New Jersey because I had to meet her parents. Because I had to. Told you, we did, you know, the old-fashioned King James stuff. I still believe in that, you know, old-fashioned ask dad for hand in marriage thing. Yeah, huh? And so I had to go and meet and tell my intentions and the whole deal and meet mom and dad and, you know. Well, my wife's mother is the Italian one. She's the full-blood Italian. I mean, full-blood Italian. I mean, full-blood Italian. Love you. And the good thing is that's the cooking half. And the worst thing you can do to an Italian is not eat her food. And I did know that. And so we go to, you know, I'm going to my in-laws, you know, I'm trying to make a good impression. Got to meet mom-in-law and got to meet dad-in-law because I want them to be mom-in-law, dad-in-law, you know, down the road, you know. I get there. Well, I can tell you she was looking for a son-in-law. Oh, no, no. No, what I meant to say was, see, when I got there, I think she knew. She knew that it was the Lord's will. We'd been praying, and she knew it was the Lord's will. When I got there on Sunday, I mean, she fixed up, I mean, this Italian dinner. Oh, man. Now, she made, us gringos, we call it manicotti, okay, but it's manicotti, okay, and it's Italian. And she makes the whole noodle. You don't buy the box noodles. She makes her own crepe and cheese. Whoo! And meatballs. You know, now you know. I'm not talking the little old dinky things. I'm talking a meatball. I mean, man-sized meatball. I'm like, yeah. And then she made New York style cheesecake. And this stuff you get in the store says New York style cheesecake. It's wrong, because it's about no. Her cheesecake is like this thick. You know what she was saying? She's saying no leftovers for the bridegroom. No. We're not giving him that stuff I've had in the refrigerator for a week. He said, I'll feed that to my husband, but not for the bridegroom. My father-in-law, he does. He got to eat the leftovers. Not me, huh? Even to this day at the house. I mean, we were there last year. We were working there. Mama had some potatoes left over from the night before, and she'd fix them fresh because there wasn't enough. Guess who got the fresh ones? Yeah. Dad had to eat the old leftovers, but I got the fresh ones, huh? Oh, she said, oh, man, no leftovers for the bridegroom. No leftovers for the bride. You're not getting me. No leftovers for the bridegroom. She said, no leftovers for the bridegroom. It's going to be fresh. Can I tell you? He's the bridegroom. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He's worthy of everything you are. And He's worthy for you to give it to Him afresh today. Stand with me, please, tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we love You. Thank You for love, mercy, goodness. Thank You for carrying the cross. Thank You, Lord. You gave us Your best. You gave us You all. You never held anything back for me. So unworthy and so undeserving. Yet You gave Your all for me. Upon Mount Calvary. God, I pray that You touch every heart, every life, every soul. Help us tonight, God, to make up our mind that we're not going to give You the leftovers of our life. But God, we're going to give You our everything. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed tonight quickly, eyes closed between you and the Lord. You're here tonight, say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not right with God. I need to give my life to Christ. Slip your hand and say, preacher, that's me. Pray for me. Quickly, come on up and back down. I've never been born again. See this hand, son. I've never been born again. See this hand. Maybe you're here, you're backslid away from God. Say, preacher, I'm backslid. I want to make it right with God. Slip your hand up quickly. Come on up and back down between you and the Master. I want to make it right. I want to make it right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See these hands tonight. Hallelujah. Listen, you're honest. Between you and God, heads are bowed. Nobody's looking around. You hear, say, preacher, God dealt with me. There's been areas of my life I've been giving God leftovers. I've been giving God leftovers. And God dealt with me, and I don't want to give Him leftovers, but I want to give Him all that I have and all that I am. Slip your hand up. Say, preacher, I've been giving Him leftovers of my time, or maybe leftovers of my love, or leftovers of faithfulness. Say, preacher, I don't want to give Him my leftovers anymore. I'm going to give Him my first. I'm going to give Him my best. I'm going to give Him all that I am. I'm going to give Him all that I am. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Lord. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lamb of God, Lamb of God. Saints are going to play and sing this song. If you're tired of giving God your leftovers, why don't we come? Let's gather around this altar. Say, God, You never gave me leftovers. And Lord, I'm not going to give You leftovers. I'm going to give You my everything. I'm going to give You my all. Hallelujah.